Again, we've got quite a bit of ground to cover. We covered the first two core values, which equals the first four core values last week, and we're going to look at the second two, in other words, the second four of our eight core values today. I'm going to rush through these. This is a little bit of a recap. I'm going to have to do that for those that weren't here last week, and you may have not caught up by listening to the MP3 online. I want to ask you, please do that. If you've missed last week's sermon, you need to download it. You need to listen to that in order to get the whole picture. So I would appreciate that. But just a reminder that what we're saying right here is not our idea. This quote, God's church does not have a mission. God's mission has a church, really speaks of the reality that we do not get to make up what we do as a church. Jesus made that up for us. We are the people that obey him. And so we went back to the two greatest things that, you know, in the history of Christianity, what Jesus has said to the church and what he asks of his people. And that's the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you, and I'll be with you to the end of the age." Many believe Acts 1:8 is an extension of that, where Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll receive power to be my witnesses, to go, not just into your local regions, but regions beyond, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Commandment. When people ask Jesus, well, what's the sort of the bare minimum requirements, you know? And he said, okay, well, if you want me to whittle it down to one or two big things, here they are. You know, Jesus said, the most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your strength, your mind. I love the two songs that we sang just before we closed about devotion to Jesus. What can I say? Surrendering to Jesus. This is us responding to this commandment. Jesus said, you've got to love God with everything. And then he says, but also you should love your neighbor as yourself. Because nobody loves God, nobody listens to God and ends up hating their neighbor. And so he says, if you can do these things, the law and the prophets, he says, everything summed up in this. These are the greatest commandments. And from that, we've derived our manifesto, helping people find and follow Jesus. We get them from those two big ideas. It's not our idea, it's God's idea. It's not our instructions, it's God's instructions. And so this is just our clever way of making it unique to our community. But it's not new, and it's not ours, it's his. And then we said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Last week, Doug reminded me that Peter Drucker is the guy who coined that. And we looked at our church and we said, we want to see people find Jesus. We want to see people follow Jesus. We want to help them, but we would like to see more of it happening. So how can we make this a culture, not just something that we say, but something that we see? And we realized that strategy is helpful, but a culture is better. And so what can we do to develop this culture? And we thought it through, and we came up with the idea that although we have a great visible vision, you know, we know where we're going and what we're wanting to do, I think we've been a little vague on our values. We said we're going to go back to the drawing board, and we're going to make these values less vague. We're going to make them clear. We're going to articulate them well, and that's what we've done these last 2 weeks. And you would have seen the icon of the fingerprint all over our slides. And by the way, this little booklet you have in your hands is like temporary. We're rebranding everything around this fingerprint, this DNA image of who we are, and you will get a new one, and you'll see a lot more of that fingerprint into the future. But let me just tell you a story. In my house, if you sit around my dinner table and someone poured you a drink, it would either be me or my wife, maybe one of my children. And we get talking and we pass, you know, the salad to one another, and can I have the chicken, salt and pepper, please? And things get mixed up a little bit, and you look down and you wonder, where is my glass? In my house, it is not difficult to find my glass, my particular one. It's easy to tell which glass is Vic's. It might not be that easy to tell which glass belongs to someone else, but I tell you, mine always stands out. Do you know why? Lipstick, no, not lip prints, fingerprints. I don't know what it is. I'm a messy eater, okay? Doesn't matter how many knives and forks you give me, but when I start to drink while I'm eating, my glass is always covered in fingerprints. It sets my glass apart from every other glass on the face of the earth, really. And it's amazing in one sense, because nobody drinks from my glass. Everybody's like, I want to touch that thing. What's happened to your glass? It's like, it's always the joke of the table. And maybe if you come for dinner one day, you can inspect my glass yourself. But the reason my glass is set apart from all the other glasses is because of the fingerprints that I leave behind. The chicken, the salad, the lick my fingers, this tastes so good, touch my glass. All of a sudden, I'm all over this glass. And that's really what we want for our church. We want, as we go out and touch our community, we want our community to go, City Gates was here. We want our community to see the fingerprints of our community all around us. I love that idea, that it's not just who we are in terms of DNA, but it's who we are in terms of the unique fingerprint that we leave behind. This sets us apart, and that's really what we're doing these next 2 weeks. We're saying, what defines us? If you look at all the fingerprints of churches around our region, which one would say that was City Gates? That's what we're doing here, friends. And so we've come up with the name of this tool in your hand. It's called We Are. Right? We are helping people find and follow Jesus. But we also have these We Are statements. And you'll see things have changed slightly from last week to this week. We're going to look at those We Are statements as well. But this is something that we want to be, first of all, memorable. I don't want you to walk around with that book in your pocket, okay? Please don't misinterpret what we're doing here. I want it to be memorable. And so these We Are statements, I believe, there's something you can easily remember. And we've been very strategic and clever about it. We've connected them to the five words in our manifesto, okay? It's not going to be difficult. We want them to be memorable, but also we want them to be actionable. We want you to be able to go, okay, this is how I do it. Or this is what I'm supposed to be doing. If I memorize it, it needs to be actionable, not just memorable, but also it needs to be measurable. So that as you do it, you'll be able to say, am I doing okay in this? Or do I suck? What do I need to change? Am I winning? Am I losing? You need to be able to measure it as well. So both memorable, well not both, three of them. Memorable, actionable, and measurable. That's the point of this tool. Okay, and it gives us the common language, not just that we're all saying the same things, but that we all mean the same things when we say it. Okay, that's the purpose of this tool. So helping people find and follow Jesus, those We Are statements are connected to them, and it should be in your booklet. Helping, the statement is, we are Holy Spirit empowered servants like Jesus. People, we are the hospitable family of Jesus. Find, we are strategic missionaries for Jesus, and follow, we are disciples devoted to Jesus. You'll see Jesus is at the end of every sentence because we help people find and follow Jesus. And so if he's at the end of the sentence, he's at the center of what we do, and we started with him as well last week. I'm not going to keep talking about that. I just want to say once more that if Jesus isn't at the end of these sentences, it's just a long list of rules. We're just going to be a legalistic church. You got to do this. You can't do that. You got to say this. You can't say that. But if Jesus is there, then it's all these things flow out of a relationship with him. Everything that we do is in pursuit of him and in response to what he has done for us. Okay? So it's very important that you hear that again today, because I'm not spending a lot of time on that at all. And so I want to jump to the second two. Okay, remember, we did helping and people last week. We talked about being Holy Spirit servants, valuing the Holy Spirit and valuing serving. We talked about being a hospitable family. We talked about hospitality and family. Today we're going to look at find and follow. Okay, so hopefully you can follow along with me. Find. Okay, last week we repeated these phrases. These are the phrases that pays us. Sorry, that rhymed. The phrase that pays is, are you ready? 1, 2, 3. We are strategic missionaries for Jesus. Let's say that again. We are strategic missionaries for Jesus. What on earth does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that we value mission. Okay? We had to mix them up a little bit just because it works that way in the sentence. But fifth value is mission. Matthew 28, we get it from there. Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's very easy to be known as a people that go to church. It's very easy to fall into that trap. Oh, you're a Christian, therefore you go to church, right? Wrong. We want to be known as a church that goes. Because Jesus said to the church, go and make disciples. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he didn't say to them, I want you to tell people to come to church. Never said that. He said to his people, come to me. Can you see the centrality of Christ again? Come to me. And then those that come to Jesus, Jesus looks them in the eye and he says, you're the church. And he says to them, go to them, okay? We want to be known as a church. Of course, we're a group of people that follow Jesus. Ecclesia, called out. That's what church means. Yes, but it's not defined by a group of people that comes together in one space week after week. It's part of it. It's not all of it. We are a people that as we come together like this and we sit under the teachings of Jesus and we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us, we find ourselves responding by going to the people. We all have a mission. And it looks different for different people, friends. You just think of the first accounts of the disciples encountering Jesus in the Gospels. And you see Andrew, he brings Peter. You know, Peter, the main guy of the 12. Andrew went to Peter and he said to him, hey, listen, I found the Messiah. He went to him and he told him. It's like, go and tell. That took place there. But then you also see Philip, who went to Nathanael. You can see this in the first few chapters of the Gospel of John. And he said to Nathanael, you must come and see. You must come and see. Because Nathanael had all sorts of doubts. He was like, man, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Nathanael says, come and see. And so when we are on missions, for some the mission looks like you go and tell. You find yourself telling people. Some people will go to the nations and tell them. I came to Canada so that I could help people here find and follow Jesus. That's my story. But for many, it's actually going to their neighbors, not the nations. And you might go and tell your neighbor about Jesus, or you could just say, listen, come and see. Like, just come with me. Like, I might not have all the vocab together here, but I can take you somewhere where you can hear and you can see Jesus in action in your community. And so you have a mission, friends. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5. It won't be up on the screen, so pay attention. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 20. Just listen to the urgency in what Paul, the apostle, writes here. He says, all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God, okay? He did everything. That's the good news. Remember in the beginning I said this little tool is not about what you have to do for God. The gospel is what God did for you. Paul says, all this is from God, who through Christ, not through your works, through Christ reconciled us to himself. Ah, but then what? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, as you are reconciled to the Father, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm in a relationship with God. He's like, yeah, and now you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry means serving. And it's as we help people, as we serve them, we help them be reconciled to the Father through what Christ has done, like we have been reconciled. So let me keep reading. That is, he's explaining it, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It's just declaration of good news. It's basically just announcing. You can come to the Father. Jesus paid for your sins. Your trespasses are not counted against you. There is a way open up for you. And that's just what you do. You just tell people about it. You live it out. The message of reconciliation. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Friends, there's such urgency in those two verses. Go check it out at home. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19. You are an ambassador. And like Paul says in Romans chapter 1, we are not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of those who believe. Let's read this, a summary together. Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. We are not merely churchgoers, but want to be known as a going church. Some may go to the nations, but everyone can go to their neighbors. Therefore, we are all missionaries, no longer of this world, but sent into it as ambassadors for Christ. So often we use that card when Jesus said, hey, you know, now that you're in my family, you're no longer of this world. And we love that. Like, yes, let's get out of, let's just separate ourselves, let's bunker down, you know, let's just distance ourselves. And we can misinterpret what Jesus said, because he sent us, though we're not of the world, he sent us back into the world as missionaries, each and every one of us. And so at this church, we don't refer to missionaries as other people. We refer to ourselves as missionaries. Each one of us have an opportunity. And so that brings us to the second value. It's not just that we know we're sent by God. It's a job that we all have to do. But we are strategic. It's a value of ours. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus said, you know, the Holy Spirit will empower you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Each of those areas had different obstacles to the gospel. Each of those areas required a different strategy in terms of representing Jesus to them. And so we say, therefore, we have strategy as well. Let me start off by reading you the description of this value, and then we'll read it together at the end. But where we live, work, or play is no accident. We leverage them as unique opportunities to show and share Jesus in contexts that others may not have access to. Acts chapter 17, Paul is speaking to a crowd and he says, listen, God has determined the exact places and the time where you should live and where you should live. And he describes it in this way. He says, why? So that people, when they reach out, they will find out that God is not far from them. Why is that? Because you're there. Because you live there. And as people are seeking and searching, and they reach out, like, God, are you there? You know who should be there? You. You should be right next to that person. You should be in their street, sitting at the cafeteria, running alongside them, fishing alongside them. God has placed you where you work, where you play, and where you sleep. You know, it's three areas. Some sleep in Whitby, but they work downtown, and they play in Brooklyn. I don't know what your story is. Some live in Oshawa. They play in Pickering Village, but they work in Bowmanville. I don't know. But where you work and where you play and where you sleep is God ordained, friends. So that's the first thing. There's this personal responsibility in terms of strategy. Remember, we used to have the strategy where we said, hey, three D's and the five S's. Do you remember that? Sundays, small groups, changed the name. We can't use that anymore. It's now community groups. And then we said subcultures, socials, and social justice, right? Social justice, what we do for the refuge, called us not over here. Subcultures is this thing that I speak of, where you find yourself regularly, your sphere of influence. So we know that if we value strategy and mission, I don't have to talk about the five S's. If that's something you value, you're going to look personally at where God has placed you, and you are going to make a difference. We're strategic, friends. We don't wing it. As a church, we don't wing it. I watched the Lego movie with my son's birthday again on Friday. And there's this classic Batman line, okay, where like they lose their plans. And Emma doesn't know what to do. And Batman's like, oh, we'll just wing it. And there's silence. And he's like, it's a bat pun, okay? Like, we don't do bat puns here at City Gates. We don't wing it. We're strategic. Where you live, work, and play, there's a purpose. Okay, but then let's carry on reading. As a church, we carefully consider how the never-changing gospel is brought to bear on an ever-changing culture. Right, so we go from personal to a little bit more of a corporate approach. And this one is theological in nature, because we think about the intersections in people's lives where the gospel uniquely will meet them. And it's different for different people. The person on your left and the person on your right, they will have different objections to Jesus. Whether it's at the cubicle at work or the person on the left and right on the street where you live. But different people trip over different things. For some, it's like, I cannot, the scripture thing, for example. I mean, the Bible, how could you trust it? For others, they trip over the fact that Jesus had to die. That is that really, or that he had to become a human being? Or that he had to be born as an infant? I mean, look, different people trip over the gospel at different places. And it's our job to carefully think about the objections to the gospel in our day. So we don't change the message, but we think carefully about how to bring the message. We bend to get the gospel to people, but we don't bend the gospel in the process, okay? So we're strategic about it. How can we bring the never-changing gospel that has been the same for 2,000 years to an ever-changing culture? Because a lot of people tell you, listen, this thing about Jesus, maybe 100 years ago, everybody liked it. But today, it's over. It's no longer relevant. And it's our job to say, oh, my friend, it is. I'm not religious. Oh, no, you are. Let me show you how you worship. Let me show you how the trends in your life are actually just sacrificial, you know, things you do because you've got a God that's just made out of stuff instead of the one true God. We think about the message. Okay, so there's strategy there. Personal, where you live, work, and play. Corporately, it's theological, but then also there's a practical component. Last sentence. We endeavor to use timely methods to best engage with society around this timeless truth. What does that mean? That means that if we know one of the hurdles, if someone's like, I'm not going to church because I don't own a suit. Right? I can't remember the last time I put a tie on. I can't go to church. Then we can say to them, don't worry. That's not a requirement here at City Gates. We're like, man, you know, I'm just not into, you know, into organ, for example. It's just a little dated for me. We go, it's okay. We got loops. We're okay. So different, timely methods. These are not theological things. This is just like us wanting to remove as many obstacles to the gospel as we can practically. And that means some of us give a little bit. Some of us prefer other things, but we just think of where we live, the context, the people we're trying to reach. And we think, you know what? If we rather have a casual culture here at City Gates, we can reach far more people than actually, you know, we believe in excellence. If someone wears a suit, we'll high-five them. They're so welcome over here. But we're just saying that's not a requirement, for example. Okay? So can you see how it's theological and both practical? And so we think about those things. We are strategic as a church. So let's read this together. You with me? On the count of three. One, two, three. Where we live, work, or play is no accident. We leverage them as unique opportunities to show and share Jesus in contexts that others may not have access to. As a church, we carefully consider how the never-changing gospel is brought to bear on an ever-changing culture. We endeavor to use timely methods to best engage with society around this timeless truth. The methods, really, friends, are just about engagement. We want to best engage with people. The methods are not the message. Don't get us wrong. And we're going to change our methods. If it's no longer working, we discard them. We find something else that works better. But the truth stays the same. All right. So that was it. Let's move on to follow. We looked at find, the two things, mission and strategy. We are strategic missionaries for Jesus. Last one, follow. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. We are disciples devoted to Jesus. Let's read it again. We are disciples devoted to Jesus. Our last two values come through there. 7 and 8. Discipleship and devotion. Let's look at discipleship. Matthew 28. Jesus says, make disciples. He says, teach them to observe what I have commanded you. And to be a disciple, you know, it means learner. It means student, the word. But this is the problem, is that the world often thinks of Jesus just as a clever teacher. Somebody with some really good ideas, great ethics, you know, it's like good advice. He's a great teacher. But we're saying, no, a disciple in the context of when Jesus spoke this means something very different to what we think about when we think about student. It actually means more like apprentice. It somebody that learns the trade. It is not that much theory as we think as a student sits and information comes their way. Oh, Jesus is a good teacher. But it's also praxis, practicals, that there's this on-the-job thing that takes place. Because Jesus is our Savior. He did everything for us. He lived our life. He died our death. It's at the expense of His life that we receive it. And so we love Him for it, okay? But He's also our Master. We learn from Him, and He's our Lord. We obey Him. And so to be a disciple is to love, learn, and obey Jesus, to learn from Him. Yes, we sit at His words. He has the words of life, like His disciples said. Where else will we go? Who else has got the words of life, man? We sit at the words of Jesus, but it's not just, oh, I know all the things that Jesus said, but I find myself obeying Him because so many of His words are instructions. So it's not just you and Jesus, but he said, make disciples of all nations. He said that to disciples, people that were following him. So there's this real sense that disciples make disciples. And so we value that discipleship relation that we have with one another. As we follow Jesus, we look to our left and our right and he says, come, join me. Come, join us. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And you know, and we live in such a self-help, self-made culture that discipleship is a tough thing in our day. And one of the things I love about Ryan, let me just love on Ryan for a moment here, is Ryan asks questions. Have you ever hung out with Ryan for a little while? Ryan is a learner. I love that about him. He'll ask, I mean, I celebrated my 17th wedding anniversary on Saturday. And so I saw Ryan on Friday. And I just, you know, mentioned to him, hey, tomorrow it's our anniversary. And the first thing Ryan did was like, what is the one thing that you have learned, like, in your 17 years of marriage? Which is obviously a very huge question to answer. Caught me off guard a bit. But I thought about it. I thought, I love that about Ryan. Ryan knows what discipleship looks like. And in our context, friends, there's often a little bit of pride. We think the Google culture, I'll find the answer myself. And Jesus wants us to be a community of disciples sitting at his feet, but also helping one another. And I want to say to you, if there's somebody that's a little further ahead in life than you are in terms of marriage or raising their children or finances, running their business or being, you know, a good employee, just ask them. Teach me something. What have you got to share? How has your relationship with Jesus impacted you in this particular sphere of life? And make notes and follow them as they follow Christ. Friends, discipleship is one of our values. It's one of our values. So let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. As apprentices of Jesus, our master, we prioritize and reorganize our entire lives to learn from and obey him. We are both at his feet as students and out in the field as practitioners. This relationship is personal but not exclusive. Therefore, we are always inviting others to join us in imitating Jesus along the way. There it is, friends. Apprentices of Jesus. On the job. Not just learning, but doing, obeying him, and not just keeping it to ourselves, me and Jesus, but always inviting others to join us as we follow Jesus. There's a chain, a discipleship chain that we want to see here at City Gates because we value discipleship. And then lastly, friends, devotion. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. We all know what devotion looks like. Nobody here kind of says, that's a fuzzy word. I don't really know what that looks like. You look at any person that's devoted to something, and you will notice some trademarks in their lives. You know, I run every now and then, and I host this local park run every Saturday morning in a trail just at the bottom of Old Kingston Road. And every week, runners show up. You know what the temperatures has been like. And every week, volunteers show up. I'm one of them, but not the only one. And I can tell you now that those runners are devoted to the hobby, whatever you want to call it. They are devoted to it, not just by showing up on a Saturday morning in minus 19 or minus 25 with the wind chill to run 5Ks, but in the week too, in terms of what they eat. You know, their whole life is structured around it. One of the amazing things I find with runners is that runners keep running even though they are sick. There's this rule in running that if you have anything's wrong with you from the neck up, you can still run. So guys with head colds, sneezing, you know, nose running, headache, they run. They run in the winter still. I was running alongside the guy the other day. His name's Lawrence. He comes all the way from the city out to Ajax. And he's not well, man, but he's running. He's like, it's neck up. It's only when it's in the chest you shouldn't run. That is a devotion to running. We know what it looks like. You see a great guitarist, you think, man, that guy is ripping up the fretboard. They plays that axe like a boss. Okay? Just go shake his hand or her hand. Feel those fingertips. Right? They'll hurt you if they tap you on the forehead. Because it's devotion all over their fingertips of hours and hours of playing and calluses forming at the edge of their fingers. We know what devotion looks like. And so we are talking about followers, disciples, not just hearing Jesus but doing it. What does a devoted follower of Jesus looks like? What are these holy habits? Jesus said, if you want to bear fruit, you got to abide in me. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And so holy habits, this morning my wife read me this beautiful thing out of one of the lessons that we teach our children downstairs about spiritual formation, about spiritual disciplines. And there was a story about a minister in England. And he lost his temper in one little area, but I can't remember the whole story. But there was they picked a fruit that was unripe, and they kind of showed it to the children. And the analogy goes that just a few more showers and a bit more sunshine, and this unripe fruit will be ready for consumption. And Jesus talked to his followers, and he says, you know, people will recognize you by the fruit that you bear. Friends, it's not rocket science. If you want fruit, you got to be connected to a branch, which is connected to a root. And Jesus said, I am the branch. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. And if you do, you will bear fruit. And so it's we often think, oh, no, that's legalism. You can't do that. But friends, that is the way it is. That if you want to bear fruit, you got to be in the vine. How do you abide in the vine? Well, it's through the spiritual disciplines that the church has been practicing for years. And I think we as a church, we've not been great at this. We're going to up our game. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to put more tools in your hands. Because that is the sunshine and the showers. That when you go through those motions and you're plugged into the vine, you will bear much fruit. And I think of Jesus talking about his followers saying, when salt loses its saltiness, can it be made salty again? And we can be so strategic. We're mission. We go into the world, you know. We do what they do. We wear what they wear. That we go so far that we look no different to the world. How do we stay other, called out? My friends, through our devotional habits, through the spiritual formation, the spiritual disciplines. I mean, there's a long list. Depending on who you read, the list gets longer or shorter. I'll just throw a few of those out, okay? What are those holy habits? What is those signs? And remember, Jesus lived it. Jesus was an example of these things. And so when we follow Jesus, we got to look like him too. What are those things? Well, silence and solitude. In the Gospel of Mark, there were so many of them where Jesus withdrew. Hey, and in the digital noise that is around us, all the things that are pulling at us, it's a spiritual discipline to switch that thing off, to sit still for a little while, to stare into the distance and just let the voice of God come through the noise of the culture. Prayer, fasting, whether it's giving something up like social media or something like food, where you realize, I've leaned on these things. My weight is on the shifting sand. I need to transfer it over onto the immovable, unshakable, firm foundation of Jesus. So I'm letting go of the things that I so rely and depend on. Like we fast in different ways, but that's a spiritual thing. Scripture and study. Opening up the Bible. Community. Resting. Sabbath. Gathering like this together was part of the spiritual disciplines of Jesus. He was always in the synagogue, as was his custom. Service, as we talked about, chastity, simple living. This one is like a knife in the heart of a suburban person. Simplicity, because we live in a world of accumulation and we are distracted by all the things that's on offer and discontent with the things that we currently own. These are some of the things we're going to be talking about more, because a devoted follower of Jesus lives their life in a certain way, and it's salty, it's attractive. It bears fruit. And if our lives look no different to the lives of our neighbors, there's a problem. And so we are devoted
followers of Jesus, and we help one another through this. Okay, so that's all I have to say about it right now. We're going to quickly rush through them, and then we'll talk through some growth opportunities. Are you still with me? Thank you. Let's read this together. We didn't do the description of this value. On the count of three. One, two, three. Spiritual disciplines and practices are the holy habits which characterize a life of devotion to Jesus. His life is an example of dedication to prayer, the scriptures, community, solitude, and rest, to name a few. Through spiritual formation, Google that word, friends, if you don't know what it means, we not only live like Jesus, but also find ourselves deepening our relationship with Jesus. These aren't rules and regulations so that if you do them, God would love you. You know, a friend of mine went on sabbatical, and I watched one of the things he wrote after that once. He says, you know, I don't read my Bible so that God would love me more. He says, but I find that when I read my Bible, I love God more. Okay? These are means of grace. These disciplines bring us closer to Jesus as we follow him and imitate him. Okay, so let's have a look at these four things again. Helping people find and follow Jesus. This means this. These are the we are statements. This is our fingerprints, friends. Let's read it together. Number one, we are Holy Spirit empowered servants like Jesus. Under people, we can say we are the hospitable family of Jesus. Undefined, we can say that we are strategic missionaries for Jesus. And on the follow, we can say that we are disciples devoted to Jesus. I'm not going to go through each and every one of these, so let me skip to the last section. Oh yes, let me quickly just talk about venue. Glad I saw that. So last week, in all confidence, I said, man, a venue change is on the horizon. Why? Because hospitality is a value. And it's very difficult to be hospitable to first-time guests with the seating configuration in this venue. And so, on good faith, in my discussions with the town of Ajax, I felt confident last week to say, man, there's a venue up the road from the waypoint that we can use that would help us facilitate and live out this value of hospitality. And then I met on the Monday to negotiate the final details. And tail between the town of Ajax's legs, very apologetic, said, I'm so sorry, but we've discovered a few things that will, you know, create a roadblock for you. So we're talking through those things. But actually, it's now less likely than it was before. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but I'm not quite as excited about that particular move as I was last week. I'm a little disappointed. But I would love for us just to stop and take literally 10 or 15 seconds. Because there's two options here. We can either change our value and we say, oh, okay, well, we can be just less hospitable and stay in here. Or we can say, no, this is an important thing. And so the value is not going to change. So the venue, either the configuration here will change, and actually it's opened up the conversation that maybe we could change the seating configuration into the future. That's a possible alternative. So maybe that's the way God would help us in this particular venue. But maybe there's somewhere else. Edwina, at our last leaders meeting, read us a scripture. I can't remember where it is exactly. 2 Chronicles. We can find it. 2 Chronicles, where the people of God says, we do not know what to do, but we look to you. And so that's going to be our prayer. God, we do not know what to do, but we look to you. Can you just, in your own words, ask Jesus to come through for us in terms of venue? Okay, let's do that. 15 seconds. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Keep praying is my prayer. Of my request, sorry. All right. In your hands, you are holding a tool. So as is with all tools, they shouldn't gather dust in the garage. They should be used, right? So how on earth are we going to use this tool? Well, first of all, let me just talk about what this is for. Last week we said, and I mentioned it today as well, this will provide us, first of all, with common language. We all say the same things, and we all mean the same things, okay? So it helps us to be on the same page, literally, okay? That's the first one. But actually, there are two big categories. For those that are looking in, maybe you're here today and you're new to City Gates. You still consider yourself new. You've come a few times, but hey, man, you're a new kid on the block. Well, this is helpful for you to see the fingerprint, to say, well, what's this church about? Who are these guys? Well, this helps you answer that question. This is with these guys, who they are. This is what their fingerprints looks like. This is what distinguishes them from other communities of faith, maybe in our area. Okay? But also for those that are looking in, who are wanting to maybe take a next step and come closer, deeper into our community, this is a target that they can aim at if they want to. So being able to say, okay, well, in order to be a part of this community, I need to value these things. This is what they value, and if I want to be a part of this, this is what I should value. So it's not just a fingerprint, but it can act as a target for people that are journeying with us, that wants to call this church their home and this community their family. And so therefore, it's a multiplication tool. It's easy for us to say to people, hey, this is what we're about. Let's talk about it, and we can multiply ourselves in that sense. But secondly, for those who are already in, so you could consider yourself a regular attender or a member of this church, this is great because it's a tool for accountability. So as leaders, we can use this language, these values that we have, and we can have conversations, discipleship conversations with one another as an accountability tool. How are you doing in these areas? Are you winning? Where are you succeeding? And can we tell those stories, for example? So a discipleship tool for those that are in our church as well, to help them grow. And so that's where we get to page 11. There's an example of an assessment that you could do on yourself. And I mentioned it last week, just a reminder, every single person, and it includes myself, going to go through this self-assessment. Every single person is going to sit down and look at these values and kind of say, well, how am I doing? All right, myself included. And we're going to ask every member. So if you're in this church and you say, this is my church, I'm on the membership list. I've come through a partnership class or whatever the process was. Maybe you were grandfathered in because you've been here for 15, 20 years. Every single person, whether new or old, if you remember here, we're asking all of you to go back to the drawing board and to relook at these values. Because we want a type of a vow renewal thing to take place. We're saying, yeah, you've covenanted, you've committed to this family. But just like every good marriage, every now and then goes back to the vows and go, man, I've lost sight of these two or three things. I'm going to recommit. I'm going to renew my vows. We're asking you to do the same. And as a leadership team, we're going to have a meal, a coffee at the very least, but hopefully over a meal because hospitality is one of our values. And we're going to talk through how are we doing around these things. We're going to celebrate where you're winning. We might even say, could we tell your story? If you feel like, man, you are killing this hospitality value, could we share a story or two of how this is working out in your life with others? Or we're going to ask the question, well, how can we help you grow in other areas? Not all of them, maybe one or two, where you feel like, man, I could do better here. We want to come alongside you and say, how can we help? How can we help? The atmosphere will be that of grace. At the top here, it says, remember that this is a tool to help you. It's not a test to pass, okay? Some of you might think, oh, I haven't studied for this one. I don't know. Friends, it's not a test. It's a tool. And so the atmosphere will be grace. We're friends sitting together. We're actually people, you know, that are struggling in other areas, speaking to you that may be struggling in different ones. It's like the ground is level, okay? The ground is level. There is no one looking down their nose at you. Not at all. So as a leadership team, so that includes small group leaders who have people in their community group with existing relationships, we're going to have honest conversations about that. It'll be our first week discussion in our community groups. We'll talk about this stuff this very first week in homes together. So an atmosphere of grace. And why? Because, friends, we believe that being a member of this church means something. And we want to guard what it means. We don't want to just say, ah, well, you know, it equals just a few things that, and you may or may not want to do them. No, we want to protect the privilege of partnership, the privilege of membership, and that's why we are going through this exercise. And I want to just ask this question. Can you imagine what our church could be like if, like, we fire on all 8 cylinders? Can you imagine what kind of a community will be? Can you imagine the footprint, the fingerprint? Maybe it's footprints too, but the fingerprint that we would leave in our community if we treasure these things together. That's why on the last page it says we are helping people find and follow Jesus, but we are in this together. Okay? I think we can make such differences. So let me take you through an example of a self-assessment. Okay? So, I don't know what his name is. Joe Smith. Right, he takes the self-assessment. And he's having a look at all 8 of these things. 2 of them in the helping category, 2 of them people, 2 of them in find, 2 of them follow, and say, right, how am I doing? And at the end of the exercise, it may look something like this. Well, you know, it comes to the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm totally fine with the Holy Spirit working and moving in our day. I don't think that it came to an end once the Bible was finished being written. I really think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still at work in people's lives. But I'm going to give myself a 5 because I believe it with my head, but I don't see too much action. Okay? And so I'm going to just be honest and say, I could do better. I'm like halfway. Look at the value of serving. Well, I mean, it's not like I'm lazy. I don't do nothing. But I know I've got more to give. I'm just not doing it. So I like an honest look at myself. I'm going to peg myself at a 4. Like, I'm getting by, but I've got 60% more to give. I know that. When it comes to hospitality, you know what? The way that City Gates defines it, in terms of loving our neighbors, not people that are Christians, but people that are far from God, to be honest, not that good. Like, I don't even know who lives next door to me. It's not that I'm unfriendly. I know my work colleagues and so on, but I'm not intentional. I'm going to put myself at a 3 for hospitality, in terms of our definition. When it comes to family, listen, I'm a rock star. I know every single City Gator. Man, these are my brothers and my sisters. Those are the people I often eat with. I do incredibly well. I think that I've got this family thing down. I want to be just honest. Like, I love our church. I love our community. They are my friends. It's who I see most of the time. Give me an 8. But actually, as a byproduct of that, I suck at mission. All right, because I think that's connected to my hospitality one. Like, I realize that I don't even think of myself as a missionary. I've always thought it's someone else's job. But I realize now, in terms of our values and in terms of what Jesus said, that I'm not excluded from this thing. So I can do better. I have to change my mind around this value of mission. And of course, if mission's bad, I have no strategy. I'll give myself a 1. I got to do better there. Okay? Well, look, when it comes to discipleship, again, because I have a great family relationship, I think I'm doing well. But when it comes to, you know, inviting others to follow me as I follow Christ, maybe I've got some work to do. Let's just be honest here. I'll put a 4 down. And in terms of devotion, I don't want to be arrogant. I mean, I love Jesus. I read my Bible. But I do think I've skipped over the parts that made me uncomfortable. And so, you know, in terms of devotion, I know I can do better. And with regards to the things that I do bad at, it's because I actually don't devote myself as I ought to. And all of us actually should say, there's more to be done. No one arrives at a 10 in devotion. There should always be a desire for more. So let me put myself at 6, saying there's room to grow, but it's not like all is lost and I've got to start from 0. Okay, so that's my little assessment. Joe Smith, he's looked at his life and he goes, okay, well, I can see that there's 2 or 3 areas that I need help in. Now, I want to be realistic here. Like, I can't give myself to all of them. So I'm going to pick 1 or 2. I'm going to ask Jesus. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me in this moment. Which one of these 2 or 3 or 1 or 2 does he want me to focus on? And so you spend some time just being honest with God. And you make it a mission to tackle one of those things in the next little while. Okay, and so that brings us to the growth opportunities, for example, in the back here. Now, this is the list that we have for now. We've thought and we've prayed through that. We wanted it to be actionable and we wanted it to be measurable, remember? Okay, so let's look at that together. So in terms of Joe Smith, all right, we know, hey, listen, number 2, mission and strategy. I need some help over there, okay? What on earth am I going to do to increase that value? to value the same. Well, let's go here to find where we are strategic missionaries of Jesus on page 14. Like, if I want to just quick, easy next steps to take, invite someone to Alpha. Yeah, that's something I can do. Or actually invite someone to community group. It's not a church service. We have a meal together. We eventually talk about God, but so casual, so relaxed. I can invite my coworker. I can invite my neighbor. Well, actually, you know what? I know our church. I mean, it's a church, yes, but, you know, we make mention of people that might not be following Jesus. And so I know my friend will feel welcome here, although he may feel or she may feel uncomfortable. They'll still feel welcome because they'll be acknowledged. Things will be explained for them. So I'm going to just invite. I'm just going to say, come and see. These are things I can do. One or three of them. Or, you know what? I don't have anybody right now to invite. I'm going to have to work on some relationships, okay? So my hospitality one over there, let me look at what I can do there. Share a meal with a neighbor or a coworker. Okay, I got 3 months. I'm going to invite someone. We're going to find a date. They're going to come for a meal at my house. Or, you know, again, community group or meet a friend or volunteer at the waypoint. That's another one for hospitality. It's very easy. Have lunch in the waypoint instead of in the staff room or volunteer at the waypoint. Serve strangers alongside us there when we're open. But anyway, back to mission. I can say I can serve at an Alpha. I don't know anyone yet. I'll work on being friends with people who are far from God. But I think I can serve at an Alpha. I can cook. I can pray. I can host. I can be a helper around the table. One of the ways to strengthen my mission muscle. Okay, so there's next step. There's growth opportunities for each of these ones. And you'll notice that the ones that are in bold and they have a little triangle next to them, at the bottom there, we say these are expectations that we have of our members. Okay? So we're not saying to, in order to be a member here, all right, you have to do these things that are in bold. No, we're saying that if you value the same things, if these 8 things are a value in your life, then at the very least, these things that are in bold will be evident in your life. That's the way around it is, friends. It's not like do this to be a member. We're basically saying value these things, and we know naturally those things in bold will be stuff you do. It's just there's integrity attached to it. We start with the values. This is not like jump through the hoops to be a partner or a member with us. We're saying own it. Value these things. And you want to know how you're doing with that? Well, at least the ones in bold will be something that's in place. And that we can with integrity say, you are partnering with us. You are walking with us. Okay. So very quickly, let's go through the growth opportunities. Under Holy Spirit, attend our pre-service prayer meeting. Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for 10 minutes, we pray. Set your alarm 30 minutes earlier. Come a little earlier. Join us for 10 minutes as we declare, we trust you, we depend on you, Holy Spirit. Do a spiritual gift assessment, okay? You can actually do that today. If you go to citygates.ca/gift test, that's version 1 of our spiritual gift assessment. You want to know, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Do the test. Let us know how you did. Which ones are you strong in? Which ones are the ones that God's given you uniquely? Or ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and you think, I don't have a clue what these guys are talking about, the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hey, chat to a leader. We'd love to pray with you. Love for you to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, serving. Join a community group. Join a Sunday serving team. Every Sunday, people arrive here early to help set up and tear down and make this happen. Commit to giving financially. It's one of the ways you can serve, is by putting a proportionate amount of your income aside that you give to the local church to help people find and follow Jesus. Sign up for Silver Linings as we serve the seniors in our region, or volunteer at the waypoint. These are just easy things you can do. Under people, as the hospitable family of Jesus, share a meal with a neighbor, invite someone to your community group, meet a friend or volunteer at the waypoint. Some of them are doubles, as you can see. Under family, join a community group. It starts this week, friends. If you think, I mean, this church doesn't feel like my family, no one knows me, join a community group. It will change, I promise you. We live out your family. Host or maybe lead a community group. You've been part of it for a while. Take it to the next level. Read or practice our One Another Charter. Watch the space. We will give it to you. It's really just the 59 One Another's in the New Testament. Love one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another. We're going to have a document that you can have on your fridge. You can have it, you know, in your car. you can use it as a tool to live it out. And of course, sign up for our annual retreat, which I'm pretty excited about. First of all, remember we've changed small groups to community groups. It's pretty easy. We thought CityGate CG, it works really well. You know, we can use the same logo for that. But also, it speaks of what our groups are about community. Not all of them are small, actually, believe it or not. Why do I have so many of those there? Okay, the church retreat is happening June 21st till the 23rd. Put this in your calendars, friends. It's an amazing opportunity. This year, it'll be cheaper. It will be closer. I know it will be nicer. We've already gone to check out the venue. It's called Lakeshore Pentecostal. Some of you guys, I think, go on holiday there. That's how nice it is. So between $120 and $145 bucks a person. Way more affordable than last year. Children between 4 and 9, half price. Under 3, go for free. All right. It even rhymes. And if $120 bucks is too much for you, talk to us. We don't want money to be an obstacle for anybody to come and join us at our church retreat. It's going to be amazing. All right. We looked at mission already. Strategy. Let's look at that. Commit to praying for 3 friends who are not yet following Jesus. It's so simple. People that live next to you, people that work next to you. Before we look at that, in terms of alpha, just to say that we've got 2 alphas running this term in people's homes, one in Oshawa and one in Scarborough. So if you know of somebody in Scarborough that you would love to expose to the claims and teachings of Jesus, the details will be on the website soon. And the same with Oshawa. If you live in that area and you want to expose someone to radical hospitality, talking about faith, in particular about who Jesus is, check out our website soon. All the information will be up on there. And then under follow, be baptized as a believer. Why is that there? Well, that's one of the first things Jesus told his followers to do. And we've got all the tools and resources online if you want to read more about that. Commit to noticing and influencing the spiritual growth of a city gator. Okay, it's just taking this discipleship thing seriously. Praying for someone, walking with someone. Maybe pray about stepping into a leadership role. Here's a new thing. Sign up for Bible Lab. Bible Lab is something that Ryan is going to be heading up once a month on a Tuesday night. The details are online if you go to citygates.ca/Bible Lab. We want to develop a love for the scriptures. You know, scripture gives us the best lens, the best view to see Jesus. And so many people don't read their Bibles because they don't know where to begin. They don't know, there's so many obstacles. And Bible Lab is an initiative for us to help you overcome that, learn and love the scriptures. And so check it out online. The first one is on February the 19th. It's a Tuesday night. And so I'd love as many city gators to join in as they can. But there will be a limit in terms of how many people can sign up because it's going to be a lab. We're going to learn about the Bible, but it's a laboratory. We're going to work together. And so if the crowd's too big, then we won't achieve that. So sign up if you'd like to be a part of that because space is limited. And then we're almost done, friends. Devotion. Commit to prioritizing our gatherings. As I said, runners show up every Saturday, even with a head cold. Man, Christians should be in the community, regardless of the challenges that we face. I believe that. It's been how I live my life. It's how Mike and Edwina has lived their lives. Every single person who's of influence in God's kingdom, this is a value that they hold dear. This is what Jesus did. You show up. And so commit to prioritizing our gatherings as a means of devoting yourself to Jesus. Attend our pre-service prayer meeting again. Start a Bible reading plan. There's a couple of tools there that you can check out. Practice other spiritual disciplines. Maybe start with fasting technology or food, or be quiet for 10 minutes every day in the morning. I don't know. Or start a gratitude journal, a prayer journal, where you write down the things you say to Jesus, ask of Jesus, and as he answers your prayers, you write them down too, and you track the faithfulness of God in your life. These are just ways that you can increase your devotion to Jesus. Friends, thank you so much for being awake, especially in this last bit where we've gone through so many growth opportunities, next steps. I would love for us to end off by breaking bread together. I know we've gone over. Brian, where are you? I've asked him to just sing that song again of what can I say, what can I do, but offer this heart, O God, completely to you. Especially as we talked about devotion this morning, as we analyze these values, We come to the table knowing that this is Jesus' commitment to us, a life laid down. He shed blood, his broken body. We cannot doubt God's devotion to us, the love he has for us, the commitment to us. We cannot doubt it. And in response to that, we find ourselves doing this. Okay? We don't do this so he could love us. We know he loves us because of this, because of the cross. And we respond appropriately. So let's stand as Brian sings. I'm going to invite you to come down, break bread, meet with Jesus in this moment, and then we'll see you out in the foyer over a cup of coffee. So God, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us as a church. Thank you for showing us what it is to find and follow you. Help us as a church, Lord, to say the same things, to these we are statements, the DNA, the fingerprint of our church. May it be all over our lives. And Lord, we want that to be the case because of what you have done for us. So as we come down now and break bread together, as we look at what you did for us on that cross, we cannot help but respond the same by laying our lives down in return as a means of gratitude and worship of your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.